We took three quizzers, and Jonathan has on our name tags, and we had buttons to trade with quizzers from different districts. And then he came home with a special pin from Hard Rock Cafe, too. So, Jacqueline has one, but she doesn't have quite that many number of buttons on hers. But and I even have one with a few buttons on mine. So, but we had a great time. There were 650 red level quizzers. And how many blue level quizzers do you remember? 1,014 blue level quizzers. So fourth through sixth grade, there were 1,014 of them. Altogether, there was a little over 8,000 people there to see the quiz meets with parents and coaches and all the quizzers. And we did really well. MJ, who is on vacation this week, he missed... The quizzes were a little bit different. Our kids are used to doing three rounds. They only did two rounds at the World Quiz. And MJ missed three questions, and he got a gold ribbon. Everybody got trophies. And they say World Quiz 2013, and then they have the Church of the Nazarene on the back. And so everybody got one of those. It says Children's Bible Quizzing World Quiz 2013. MJ got a gold ribbon. When he gets back from his vacation, we'll get that for him. Jacqueline missed only four questions out of all of the questions that they asked the red level, and she got a silver ribbon. It doesn't look silver, but it's for silver. Jonathan got to quiz in the afternoon. MJ and Jacqueline had to be there at 7:45. And so it was an early thing. Jonathan didn't have to be there till 1:45. So he got to sleep in. He missed three questions, and he got a gold ribbon. But this is Jonathan. This is Jonathan's last year to quiz with us. And so as a gift from the church, we got him a dog tag with all of the books of the Bible that he has quizzed. He started out with Exodus. Then he did Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, Matthew, and then this past year we did Acts. And so starting in August, Jonathan will be with the teen quizzers, and I don't know what they're quizzing. And James and John. And Jacqueline will be back with the blue level quizzers this year, and we will be studying the book of Genesis. And we want to thank you all. The church gave each of the kids a little bit of money to help pay for their trips, and we had a wonderful time, and we represented the church very well. So thank you very much.
Well, good morning. It is great to see all of you out there this morning. Some of you that were here last Sunday will remember I asked how many of you floated away, and I guess this Sunday I can ask how many of you almost got blown away this past week. I know that several houses on the street that we live in had quite a bit of tree limb and some shingle damage. So I've heard bits and pieces of different people in the church that have had tree limbs down and fences down. So hopefully y'all made it through the storm all right and made it here to church all right this morning and are prepared to worship in the house of the Lord this morning. How many of you are ready this morning?
Amen.
Hopefully all of you are ready. I tell you what, if you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletins. There's not a whole lot to touch on this week, but I do want to highlight a couple different ones that are in your bulletin. The first one being directly following service this morning, there will be a brief building and grounds meeting. Usually it's held in this East Side Overflow classroom. So if you are part of the building and grounds committee, please be prepared to stay very briefly after the service this morning. And then tonight, we will have the potter with us. That is John Morglia.
Moria.
Silent L. So at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to have our teens and our children with us in service.
We will receive a love offering.
Okay. We will be holding a love offering this evening for him. From my understanding, he has been here before in the past. He dresses in Old Testament garb, and the platform up here will be somewhat cleared, and he will be performing while he gives a little bit of a testament. So be here for that tonight. From my understanding, it is a very, very neat presentation. I'm sure something that all of us will enjoy. Then also tonight, for you ladies, if you are wanting to go to Come to the Fire, your registration is due in by this evening. There is some information out on the ladies' fellowship board out there in the foyer. Sadly enough, this Tuesday night, there is no men's softball game. Normally, it's the highlight of my announcements every Sunday morning. But one thing I do want to touch on, our record this summer is 5-3. And the significance of that, if you add up the number of wins that we had in the previous 3 to 6 years, we may have had 5 wins altogether. So this year we're doing quite well. We have had a lot of you come out and support us and cheer us on, and we thank you for that. But this week there is no church softball game. Next week we will resume play with a game at 7:45 at the park. Wednesday evening we'll have our regular scheduled Bible study and children and teen gathering and choir practice. Thursday, of course, is the 4th of July. We ask that you guys be careful with the fireworks. Don't light yourself on fire, burn anything down, but we have a good time, but have a safe time at the same time. This Sunday, we will be restarting our small groups. So for you group leaders this week, make certain you call, let your group members know that small groups will be restarting this Sunday night at 6 p.m. We will, of course, still have service here at the church for those of you that are not a part of the small group fellowship. Then I was given a couple announcements that are not in your bulletin. One being that July the 21st, for you ladies that are part of the fellowship council, there will be a brief, well, actually, it'll be a lunch and a meeting after the morning service. That was July the 21st. be a light lunch, probably soup, sandwiches, chips like that. But if you were part of the Ladies Fellowship Council, that was July the 21st, directly following service. And then kind of a correction to what's in the bulletin. On July the 12th, there will be a baby shower for Jenna Allen for the arrival of Berkeley Reese Allen. The announcements I was given is she is on her way, and we would love for you to come and celebrate her arrival day. Please come and join us on July the 12th at Nixon Nazarene as we pray for her good health. Berkeley would love for you to bring a little bow to share, so she will have something pretty to wear in her hair. The shower will start at 7 p.m., not 6 as the bulletin says, but at 7 p.m., and we look forward to seeing each of you then. So that was July the 12th here at the church at 7 p.m. for Berkeley Reese Allen. So that is all the announcements that I have. We're going to go ahead and head into our greeting time. Stand, if you would, and find someone you haven't greeted yet this morning.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, in you. I praise you with all of my life. I praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. All of my strength, all of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope. It's in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I praise you with all of my life. I praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, in you.
Good morning. It's good to be back here. I had to miss 2 weeks in a row. It's kind of unusual for me, and so I'm glad to be back here. I am especially appreciative of Stella and Vicki, thank you. I'm losing my mind here for a minute this morning, for filling in for me for the last couple of weeks. I appreciate their help. I really enjoyed General Assembly and the things that we heard and learned, and I've got too many things to share with you in just this little bit of time this morning. But the thing I want to focus on this morning is Pastor Don had shared with us. I don't know how it's all going to work out or how all the details, but this year the Jesus film, this year the Jesus film was approached and by the Christmas box people, the Somebody help me out. I'm stumbling all over myself today. The operation, yeah. Christmas Child. Anyway, they have been approached. They have so many boxes that they have approached the Jesus Film, and they're going to start sending boxes with the Jesus Film when they go out. So that was really kind of exciting and interesting. We've known about this Christmas program for a long time, but last year was the first year that our church had participated in it, and we're getting ready to start on that now. Our council decided that we want those of you that want to fill a box and bring it like you did last year. But we also, for August and September and October, we're going to have a container out there. And when you go out by the coach, you will see a poster board set up. And we are going to ask for certain items for the month for you to bring in. And which, Stella?
Did we designate?
Okay. July is toys, and we will kind of get this. We're just kind of getting it started today. We'll get it where you'll know for sure what's going on, so you can watch for sales. You can watch for different things that you might want to do. You will also still have the opportunity to fill a whole box or more if you want to do that. The other thing we're going to do differently this year is we are going to send all the boxes from our church address where send all the shipping funds together so we can track where our boxes go. Last year, a few of you did that online, and you kind of got to see where your boxes go, and you kind of learn as you go. And so this year, we hope to have a big map and kind of find out whose box went where, and that's just kind of fun, especially for kids, to see how far we reach out on all that. I will have copies out there on that board for these are 101 ideas that you can include in boxes. I came home and got on the internet and did a lot of research and was really challenged by some of the people. One lady does 50 boxes a year. And there was another group that has a $10 challenge. You fill your box, but the first $7 is your shipping fee. So you fill your box for $3. And these people sent in pictures of what they were filling their box with and how they were doing it using sales and coupons and freebies and all kinds of stuff. It was really kind of interesting, and they were just challenged to see what they could come up with for these boxes. And if you want to take $40 and fill your box, that's fine too, but just whatever would be good for you, what works for your life and your desires. We do have some of the boxes from the organization, but they will take regular shoe boxes. Those are a little sturdier, a little bit larger. So if you have extra boxes, bring those in, because we may be needing those. If you have shoe boxes, we will take those too, and you can set them out there by that stand. So kind of be thinking. I know July is tomorrow, and everything is about Christmas in July, all the stores and everything else. So just be thinking about that, because we can't wait till Christmas to send these. We have to send these before Thanksgiving. So this will give you some time to work on all that.
Thank you, Jennifer. I am so excited this morning about what God is doing. God is moving around the world in ways that he's never moved before. There are things that we as human beings look at and we say, this is discouraging. But you look at what God's doing, and it's not discouraging. It's exciting. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I hadn't been to the general church meetings since 2001. And you can have Indianapolis, take all of it you want. I don't need to go back there. But as far as the general church is concerned, I'm excited about what God's doing and the way he's working in our world. And I want to be a part of what God's doing. And lest I forget, it's time to take our offering. I can get real carried away with all of these things. So I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be together today in your house to partake in worship and to be a part of the greatest work in the world, the salvation of souls, reaching out to a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. Now bless this offering as we bring it into the storehouse. May it go to carry your word around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
How many of you are glad to be Americans today? Amen. All right. And how many of you are more excited to be Christian? Amen. There are a few folks out there that think the two equate automatically, and obviously we've seen a turn of events over the last several decades that have maybe made that not as obvious as some, but we are still a very blessed nation. God has been way better to us than we deserve. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to receive everything he's got and take as much of it as he can dish out. And so we are here today to honor him first, but obviously also to celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country, to enjoy many benefits, but to worship however God leads us to do so. and to share the message that we have from His Word of God freely. Just am mindful of having, you've heard other comments from others who were at General Assembly last week, but one of the things that that we were made mindful of again is that there are countries in this world where we have missionaries that they can't even mention the missionaries' names for fear that that information, because we were streaming live across the internet and those kind of things, that those people would be in danger because of their names being made public. And so, you know, we take for granted a lot of things. We enjoy a lot of things here that we don't realize sometimes how good we have it. And indeed, all of that is a blessing and a gift from God. Well, out on the credenza behind the Welcome Center, there are just a few artifacts from General Assembly in case you just want to see any of that. We tried to bring some things this morning that would give you a little taste of that. We do want to tell you that not only recently have we elected a new district superintendent, and we have told you about that a couple of different times, Reverend Mark Bain, who will be coming here from Atlanta, Georgia, and he will take office July 1st. But we have indeed elected two new general superintendents. There are six general superintendents that preside over the International Church of the Nazarene, and two of those fellows were retiring this year, and so we elected two new general superintendents on the 21st ballot. Dr. David Busick, who was president of our Nazarene Theological Seminary, was elected to be our next general superintendent. And then on the record 53rd ballot, Dr. Gustavo Crocker, who is an international, raised in Guatemala, became our 41st or 42nd general superintendent. And so indeed, we are excited for these men. We pray you would remember their names and pray for them as they acclimate themselves to their responsibilities now and the jurisdictions that they will have over their respective parts of the world. And so we're thankful for all that was done. There are many legislative things that were debated and discussed, and you don't have time for me to even get into that, and I haven't seen all the results of all of it yet. So at any rate, that'll be coming out. You can go to www.nazarene.org, the General Church website, and you can get a lot of that information right off of the website there. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that. And indeed, if you want to get a little taste of what was going on at General Assembly, you can go on that same website, and the services were all streamed live. And they've all been archived now, and you can go back and see perhaps any of those services that there was a particular general superintendent that you think you might have liked to have heard speak. You can go back and actually hear those messages. And indeed, on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, there was a service, and Dr. Stan Toler, one of our retiring general superintendents, was to speak. And he has historically, through the years, he and his brothers have sang together. They were scheduled to sing before and after his message, but they did not come out before his message. Indeed, a blonde-headed lady named Sandy Patty walked out on the platform and said, spoke to Stan. They are personal friends, and in honor of his retirement, she made an appearance at the Nazarene General Assembly and sang "How Great Thou Art," and it brought the house down. And indeed, it was a great time, wonderful surprise, great blessing. And then the Toler brothers sang afterwards, and they're as good as any gospel quartet you'll ever hear anywhere. And you get those family harmonies together, those guys can really knock it out of the park. So a great time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the opportunity to be away from the local setting here and to be there in Indianapolis for Pastor Don and Jennifer and Ruth and myself. And we appreciate you helping us to be able to be there and to be a part of those proceedings. And we look forward to then the remainder of what God has for us here. I can tell you this. Well, it was a great experience on Sunday morning to worship with 21,000 Nazarenes singing praises to the Lord. It's just real nice to be back home and see your smiling faces. And we're glad to be in this house with you this morning and glad to be a part of this service. Thank you so much. Jeff is in on some vacation time. Always great to have Jeff to come in. And he's always a willing participant in our services. And what an addition he makes this morning. And we appreciate our faithful musicians as well. We have great talented people, our praise team. But always nice to have these guests to come in. And good to have all of you who may consider yourselves visitors this morning. We want you to make yourselves at home. And I would be amiss if I didn't make a specific personal acknowledgement to one of the best friends in the world that God has given me. There are a group of gentlemen who on most Monday mornings meet together and talk to the Lord about some things and talk to each other about a lot of things. And it's great to have Brother Lance Ogden in our service this morning, and they're going through some transition in their lives, and so I know they would appreciate your prayers. He has formerly been pastor at Calvary Bible, but the Lord's doing some different things in his life, making some changes, and so you pray for them as they're going through that transition. And we're glad, Lance, for you and your family and friends to be with us this morning, as we are for all of you who consider this to be home. Hey, I like it when you're here much better than when you're gone. And I'm glad when you get some vacation time, too. We pray for all of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. These altars are open to you. If you have need of them, whether it be praise or petition, whatever the case might be, if you need a place to spend time with your God just at a point of altar, then that's what they're here for. And so you feel free to come as we sing together. And then we're going to lift our voices in prayer to our great God, knowing that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His
Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today, thanking you for your great love for us. Lord, we are indeed thankful today to be Americans. We're thankful for this great nation that you have blessed us with and allowed us to be a part of. Lord, we don't know all of your choosings and your timing and your methods, but I know personally, Father, I'm grateful. I know that you would have loved me the same and cared for me the same any other place in the world. But I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to be born in America, to enjoy this great nation. And Lord, today we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ, no matter where we live. And Lord, we just pray today that as we celebrate you, that our hearts and our minds would be open to whatever it is you want to do in our lives, Lord. We pray for your guidance and your direction as we give you thanks for your great salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for your great mercy, grace. Lord, we want to share that message with all we come in contact with. We're here today to celebrate not only what you've done for us as a nation, but for what you've done for us as a people, your children, the body of Christ. There's an enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you for that today, Lord Jesus. Lord, there are many things when you gather this many people together that are on the hearts and minds of these people, written on their hearts. Needs, praise, a lot of things going on. So, Father, just hear our hearts today, as we thank you for your blessings and for your presence and provision. As we appeal to you, Father, for the needs that we have in our life, or intercede on behalf of others that we may be acquainted with. And Lord, on this weekend prior to the celebration of our nation's independence, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for our Congress. We pray for the leaders all the way down into the city and local level, state government. Father, we pray that there will be people who come across their paths that make them ever conscious that our motto is still, "In God we trust." And Lord, should we forget that, bring us reminders. Lord, we're not here today. We may have difference of opinion, but we're not here to critique. We're here to lift up and pray for, in hopes that those who maybe are not mindful of you at this point in time, something would cross their path. Someone would speak to them in such a way, Father, that they would become mindful of their need of Jesus Christ. And that then they would give their life and their talents and their abilities and their position to seeing that God's will is done on earth just as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray. So, Father, thank you today for America. Thank you for the Church of the Nazarene. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for our sister churches that we can work together in this community. Lord, we pray for Lance and his family. You have a plan. I pray that you'd work that out. Lord, there are those of our congregation that have been fighting some tough situations. Some of them facing health difficulties, and some who thought things were going good woke up one morning and found that there were some challenges in life, things to the temporal realm, the properties and the things around them. So Lord, just help us as we rebuild and as we are able to put back. Lord, we're thankful that you supply all those materials and those things. And while it may be an inconvenience and it may be even a financial hardship sometimes, we know that you are a provider and protector, and you're going to get us through. You're going to see us through all the way. Lord, we thank you that sometimes when property has been damaged, that lives were not lost. People were not hurt. And Lord, as the great physician, we ask for your touch in our lives. We know there are several that have been struggling with various diseases and maladies here on this earth. We know that you can touch and heal. Lord, for those who have been without work, we know that you have a plan for our lives, and we trust you. And sometimes, Lord, it seems like we go right down to the last moment. But your plan is always better than anything we can think up or try to make happen. So, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Have your will in your way. Bless in the remainder of this service, Father. We thank you for all that's been done to this point. Be with our people that are on vacation and traveling and here and there. And thank you for these that come in as visitors today. May they feel at home as part of the family of God. Lord, again, do whatever you want to do amongst us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. You are worthy. We want everything you got, Lord. We want to be what you designed us to be and gave us the potential to be. We give you praise and honor and glory, and we ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Jesus, we set our eyes on you. We see a history that is filled with evidence of your goodness and faithfulness to this nation. We see, even in this day, your hand of protection and provision for all of us. We look to the future, and even in the face of difficult times, we trust in who you are. You are God. You are Lord over all. We are in your hand. We set our faith, we set our hearts on you alone. Our beloved nation continue to walk a path of destruction. We must repent. We must pray. We must take a stand for righteousness, for our freedom, and most of all, for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Stand up for Jesus, we soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. He'll stand before his banner and Christ his sword. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His word is marching on.
Our sanctuary choir, don't you? They always do a great job. We are thrilled to be home and to hear them and to be moved in our hearts and our spirit of all of the great blessings that God has given us to live in this great nation. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And stick a finger in at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. I want to take just a few moments this morning to look at the thought of our glorious freedom. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, we read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have ever needed to be set free from something? Well, if you were born, you had a sin problem. And I'm so glad to see that we're all such active participants today. We need to be set free from sin, but a lot of us, as a result of sin, the byproducts of sin and the corruptness that it brought to this earth, have had to deal with other things that we needed to be freed from. Sometimes addiction, sometimes other issues. But indeed, Isaiah said that the Lord had given him the ability to proclaim freedom to the captives. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." God intends for His children to be free. He doesn't want us to live in bondage. He doesn't want us to live under some kind of oppression. But He indeed wants us to enjoy great freedom. And He has indeed set everything up so that we can enjoy that. And, you know, I don't know that any of us have probably been affected any more in this current generation than we were on 9/11. And when we were attacked, and when those planes went into those towers, and when those towers came down and thousands of people lost their lives, we got riled up. Rightfully so. But what we had taken for granted and what we had absorbed just kind of automatically for so long now finally was threatened. And we wanted to rise up against that. I wish that God's people, God's creation as a whole, would become as worked up about the fact that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy them as we as Americans did that the terrorists attacked us. I wish that we could get to the point to where we realize that God has so much more for us and wants to give us so much to enjoy. And we miss it sometimes, all because we're so self-obsessed. We want what we want, when we want it, the way we want it. We want God to give it to us. Those of you who've been around all of these 27 years now that I've been here know that I have a little phrase that I like to use every once in a while, and that is, God doesn't have Burger King religion. You don't get to have it your way. It's God's way. And He's provided everything we need to live in freedom and in victory and to enjoy great blessing. But we have some commitment. We have something to give. We have to offer ourselves as He offered His Son. Freedom, folks, is a gift. It's a gift. We have to receive it, and we have to accept it. Listen to these passages of Scripture. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, it says this, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." God gave his son Jesus Christ on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, that the things that we had committed, the things that we had done in a spirit of rebellion might be forgiven and might be erased and no longer held against us. It is a gift. He gave his son that we could enjoy all of that. The gospel is out there. There are very few people in this technology age that have not had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, there are still some out there. There are still some people groups out there in some obscure places that have not received the gospel. And Romans chapter 1 deals with that issue and talking about people who have a sense of right and wrong. And according to the law that they understand and the right and wrong they do, if they're trying to do right, that there is God's provision for them. It is our belief, most of us, that a rapture is coming some point in time, and that indeed that will come when everybody's heard. And certainly we have greater opportunity today than at any other time to have heard the gospel in some measure. But sometimes just having the opportunity, sometimes even people passing legislation, doesn't force us to accept something that's out there for us. I read to you this morning from a little excerpt. It said a war had been fought, the bloodiest in our history. A president had been assassinated. An amendment to the Constitution had been signed into law. Once enslaved men, women, and children were now legally emancipated. Yet amazingly, many continued living in fear and squalor as though it had never happened. In a context of hard-earned freedom, slaves chose to remain slaves. And with everything that God has done for us through His Son Jesus Christ, there are still people today who choose to remain in oppression. There are people who choose not to accept the gift that God has given to them and prepared for them. We must accept and receive what has been provided. And Jesus died on the cross that the acts of sin that we committed might be forgiven. But I want to tell you this morning, and I'm reminded of this again as we come out of our International General Assembly and we talk about our heritage and we talk about who we are as a church and what our message is. That part of the message that the Church of the Nazarene offers, that not everyone offers, is that Jesus came to do more than just forgive our sins. He died on the cross to deliver us from the power of sin. He died on the cross to deliver us from a carnal spirit. He died on the cross to take from us that which we inherited from Adam in the fall of man. And that He truly wants to give us real freedom. Not just kind of a pseudo-freedom where, well, yeah, you get a little relief, but you're still going to be, under bondage. But indeed, He wants to provide for our total freedom. This freedom is a gift, and God wants to deal with more than just the symptoms. He wants to deal with the problem. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 6 this morning. Verses 6 and 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. We need to come to understand that in reading the Bible in its entirety, that sin is addressed in a couple of different ways. The passage that we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, talked about the sins that we have committed. Those acts of rebellion that come from a corrupted nature. Those things that are externally produced
that are in contrast to God, in opposition to His will, that come from a carnal spirit that we inherited at the fall of man. But Jesus died to do so much more than that. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, Jesus suffered outside the city gate to do what? To make the people holy, not just forgiven. And I promise you that as long as you allow the body of sin to remain in you, you're going to be under bondage. Jesus died to make provision to do more than just forgive your acts of rebellion. But He died in order to remove that rebellious spirit from you internally. Now, I know there's people out there that think that can't be done this side of heaven. But that's not what I read. Matter of fact, if you in Titus, and this is not even, this is just coming through my head now, it's not on the screens or anywhere else, but in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, you'll find that it talks about saying no to ungodliness in this present age. Not when you die and get glorified, but that indeed God wants to change our hearts. He wants to do more than just correct, you know, or pass over what happened. He wants to change it so we don't desire to do those things anymore. We don't have that internal motivation to act that way. And it speaks to the issue of the sins that we commit, but it also speaks to the sin, which is that carnal spirit. And it's interesting that in a very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin, not the wages of your sins, are death. The wages of sin. The word sin is that spirit, that carnal spirit of rebellion against the authority of God. And when you live with that spirit in control, you're going to die. And you're going to die a spiritual death as well as a physical death, because that's going to take you to hell. But Jesus died to provide for us a glorious freedom, not only to forgive us of the sins we've committed, but to deliver us from the body of sin. That's what Romans 6 is talking about. The body of sin that motivates us, that drives us to do those very kinds of things. And when He delivers us from our carnal spirit, then it gives us a tremendous freedom that sometimes we haven't really realized and possessed, because it gives us freedom both inside and out. It helps us in regard to ourselves and also to others. Romans chapter 13 and verse 3 reads like this: for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and He will commend you. Do you know that I have never, ever looked for, worried about, thought about red lights, blue lights, highway patrolmen, badges and uniforms when I was driving, what the number was on the sign on the street that I was on? But when I began to push the limits and exceed the limits, then I would proceed with certain caution. Isn't it amazing you can travel the interstates between here and Indianapolis, and at the first sight of lights on top of a car, your foot automatically goes to the brake? Old habits die hard. But we have no fear of the one in authority when we're making right choices, when we're doing right things, when we're living the way we're supposed to. We're not afraid of mom and dad when we're living by the house rules. We don't expect to have correction or punishment when we do what mom and dad say. But when we cross the lines, we're hoping they don't find out. And many of us live in fear of God's authority because we know that He really is God and He really knows what's right and He really wants to help us and He's provided for us. But we're still kind of doing our own thing, running off our own way, having our own little party in life. And so we're looking for God. God sees us before we see Him. He knows our every thought. And that's why He understands our frailties, and He's provided for us to not have to live that way. But He wants to remove that carnal spirit, fill us with His Holy Spirit, indeed change our internal motivation, change our heart. He already is well aware of the fact that the law was not enough. It was not enough to make people live right, because that's why He had to send Jesus. So just having a legislative law is not going to make everybody do the right thing. But when your heart is changed and you're in love with the Father and you want to please Him more than you want to do anything else, then those things that would be in contrast to His Word and His will, they don't bring you pleasure anymore. And that's where true freedom comes from. We have a freedom to make the right choices because we have the help of His Holy Spirit internally. It frees us from our own carnal spirit. But it's more than that because we don't have to just live in this world with ourselves. There's all of you guys out there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation." Now that doesn't mean that people won't accuse you. But what it means is when you know your own heart and God knows your heart, when people accuse you of something that's not true, your freedom in Christ keeps you from being overwhelmed by lies and false accusations that the enemy and the world will place on you. The truth of the matter is other people are influenced by false accusations. People can accuse you of stuff and it doesn't matter whether you did it or not. There's going to be people who will always believe you did. But the bottom line is, when you are right with God, you can pillow your head at night no matter what they're saying, and you can know that the peace of God that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus is there and gives you peace, and you can go on no matter what the accusations of the external world are. There are people locked up in prisons today who have hope every day because they know in their heart they're innocent. Are they hurt by their conditions? Yes. Are they frustrated by the injustices? Absolutely. But this is a corrupted world. It's never always going to be fair or right here. But for every one of us as individuals, we can't control what everybody else is doing. But what we can control is our own relationship with Jesus Christ. What He's provided for us, what we're willing to take advantage of and be access to, and live the kind of way that God wants us to live. Make right choices. Enjoy God's blessing. And the Apostle Paul knew what it was to be improperly imprisoned. And yet he's the one who's writing about this freedom in Christ, because while he was in chains, he was free. You think Paul and Silas thought they were in bondage when they were locked up singing those hymns in prison? And indeed, they were set free physically. But it's because their heart was free. Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood before the SS guards in a German concentration camp, and the only thing he had on his body was his wedding ring. They had it stripped him completely naked, and they took his wedding ring. And the account says Dietrich Bonhoeffer looked at those German SS guards and says, "You can take everything I have, but you cannot take who I am." That's freedom in Christ. The world can try to oppress us. The devil can try to control us. But when we have given our heart to Jesus Christ and we have accepted all that God has provided for in Jesus' death on the cross, we have freedom. Freedom from ourselves and our bad choices and the carnal spirit that we used to know. When we've been filled with the Spirit of God, we have freedom over what anybody else might say, do, or think. They don't control us. We're controlled by the Spirit of God. And what Jesus has provided for us, what God has provided for us, we need to accept that freedom. Enjoy that gift. But I remind you also that with freedom comes responsibility. Let me refer you back to that fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. And in verse 13, it reads like this: "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 16, it says, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." With the freedom that Christ gives us, there is the responsibility of our witness to those around us. And we indeed need to live by making right choices that indeed God empowers us to do, that the power of the Holy Spirit cleanses us and makes us what we ought to be. I like that song we used to sing, that old hymn that said, "His power can make you what you ought to be." His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free when we let Him have His way with thee. See, that's the problem. Most of us want God's blessing, but we still want to have our own way. I'm telling you, God doesn't operate that way. You can go to Burger King all you want, but that won't get you into heaven. When we surrender our wills, we have to know and trust that God that gave us hope, the God in whom we trust, we have to know that He wants what's best for us more than we want it for ourselves. And He knows what's best for us more than we know ourselves. And so when we live in submission to His will and to His plan and to His word, then we are better off than when we think we know what we want and ask God to give it to us. God has provided for our every need. And the really wonderful thing is there's not one of us here this morning that has lived in God's blessing that hasn't had more than what we had to have. The truth of the matter is the only thing you need to get through this life and make it through eternity is Jesus Christ as Savior. That's it. That's all. But our God loves us and is so good that He has graciously blessed us with many other things to help us enjoy things along the way. The problem is that we become enamored with the things sometimes, with the gifts rather than the giver. And when the gifts mean more to us than the giver, then we've lost out somewhere. We've misappropriated our affection. We've misaligned our allegiance. The devil wants us to continue to believe a lie. He wants to steal our relationship with God. He wants to take away our freedoms. He wants to oppress us in every possible way because he knows his eternity is already set. But I'm here to tell you this morning that right here, right now, today, you have a choice. You have a choice to enjoy forgiveness and freedom, or to continue to walk in bondage. And some people don't even know they're walking in bondage. They don't even admit they're walking in bondage. But you know, there's only two beings that you can serve, and you're not one of them. Usually when you think you're having your own way, you're serving the devil. Unless you've come to that place where your way falls into the way of God. When God has passages of Scripture in the Psalms, when He talks about granting to us the desires of our heart, how could He not grant us the desires of our heart when our desires are submitted to His? When our lives are in line with His? And what freedom that really is when all we want to do is be in love with Jesus and do whatever pleases Him, then nothing else can hurt us or harm us along the way. We get so tuned into the temporal as opposed to really connecting with the eternal. And it skews our sight. And it skews our thought processes. We cannot perceive things correctly. The Apostle Paul had it correct when Jesus spoke to him and relayed to him his responsibility. And he was speaking in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts before Agrippa, and he was testifying to how Christ had come into his life, and he said this was his commission. I will rescue you, these are the words of Jesus to the Apostle Paul. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not only to be a right example, to be making right choices, to be living the right life, but it is our responsibility indeed to share our faith with others, to invite them to know the freedom that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Why do people come to America? They believe this is one of the most blessed places on the earth. They believe there's more opportunity here. They believe that they're going to have the ability to do things they could never do anywhere else. And so they leave their countries. They leave their heritage. They leave their families. And they come to America. Why? Because it's supposedly the best place on earth. So why can't people pass that on into the spiritual realm and come to Jesus? Because Jesus is the best place. Jesus is the best person. Paul spent the entirety of Hebrews talking about how Christ was better than everything else. You have a choice this morning. A choice that leads to true and total freedom, or a choice to remain in bondage, to remain oppressed, to fight the addictions and the problems and troubles of this life. But I promise you, while it may not be an easy road, and it doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone the instant you accept Jesus Christ. If anything, it's all the more the other direction. He'll continue to try to battle you. But Jesus Christ has died that we might enjoy true freedom, to make us holy, so we can say no to ungodliness and worldly things, and in this present age, live the kind of life God wants us to live. There's a song in our hymn book. It's on page 505. We're not going to sing it this morning, but I want you to hear the words. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife. Freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that saddened my life. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies. Freedom from love and glitter of gold. Freedom from evil, temper, and anger. Glorious freedom, rapture untold. Freedom from fear with all of its torments. Freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator. Now and forever, he shall be mine. I wonder this morning, going into this Independence Week, if there are those of you that have totally prepared yourself for the 4th of July and you've got the burgers and buns and fireworks and all the stuff and you're all ready to go, and yet right here today in God's house on God's day, your heart is not really where it needs to be with him. See, I'm just going to tell you that you can celebrate the independence of this country, but you'll never enjoy true freedom until your life is in Christ. I want you to stand with me this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no music playing. We're not going to create any kind of an atmosphere. We're not going to take a lot of time, but I want to give you an opportunity on this Sunday morning to be a participant in the great freedom that Jesus Christ has provided for us. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, this morning we come to you just simply asking you to speak to our hearts. These altars are here. It is our opportunity to respond to you. Not because we want to say that anybody's bad or whatever, but Father, this morning we just want people to enjoy all that you've given them. And Lord, you're for these people, not against them. You don't want to keep anybody out of your heaven. You want to bring them all in. But there's a way to do that. And this morning, Father, I believe right now in this moment of time that your Holy Spirit is speaking to people and that they know immediately if their heart is really right with you or if there's unfinished business. And so, Father, I pray this morning that with arms of open love, that you would invite these folks, Father, if they have a need in their life, if there's a struggle going on, if there's something, some area of their life that's not yielded or surrendered, that, Father, they would just make their way to these altars of prayer this morning and say, I need Jesus. I need complete freedom. I want God to deliver me from the bondage and the oppression in my life. These altars are open this morning to you. If you're here and you sense the Spirit of God speaking to you and there's something in your life, maybe it's a habit or a vice, or maybe it's just your relationship with God is adrift and you've not given attention to it, and indeed God has been there all the time, but you've been pulling away and going the other direction, this is the day to make things current and up to date. This is the day and the opportunity to say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Anyone like that this morning? Anyone that needs a place of prayer? God loves you and has provided for you to enjoy glorious freedom through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His indwelling and infilling Holy Spirit. Anyone at all that need to pray? Thank you so much for being here this morning. We appreciate your presence. It's great to have our visitors. We trust that you have felt at home, and indeed that you have enjoyed being with the family of God here at Nixa Church of the Nazarene this morning. You're always welcome. We appreciate you. Trust that you'll enjoy this beautiful day for this time of year that God has given to us, and enjoy His creation, enjoy your family. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, John Moria, the potter, the original potter from the great Passion Play in Eureka Springs will be here. He has a wonderful way of presenting God's message through what he does and throwing a pot and giving you the scriptures and all those kinds of things. So come, bring a love offering with you. We want to bless his ministry so he can continue to share it with others, and come prepared to share in that. We're going to have a great time, 6 o'clock tonight, and so come and be with us at that time, if you would. Brother Lance, I love you. Appreciate you, man, your ministry, and who you are as a person, and most of all, who you are as my friend. Would you pray a closing prayer for us on this service, please?